Don't look at the clock. It don't matter. All right, you're in the loop on a Friday. Football Friday, baby. Let's enjoy ourselves.
Crosstalk.
Yeah.
D&M Auto Leasing. It was brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing.
We were having way too much fun. And let's continue having
fun.
Brought
to you by D&M Auto Leasing.
That's right.
Of course. Twice.
Thrice, in fact. On a Friday. Let's get going. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. And, of course, appreciation to the Moe Karam Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch, 610 Houston. I don't want to ask you how you're doing, Lopez. I really don't care, honestly, at this
Fantastic.
Point.
Fantastic.
But I'm excited on a football Friday ahead of preseason game number two, and it's a home opener, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I am so jazzed for this.
It is, and the crowd's going to be buzzing. The parking lot's going to be buzzing. You and Figgy are going to be tailgating. I'm going to be up in the suite, the courtesy of Odyssey. Thank you very much for the tickets.
That brown noser.
Sounded like a whole lot of work.
Right. They're working. I'm having fun eating and drinking. But there is some football to be played.
There is some football to be played. Actually, one more matter of accounting.
Mm-hmm.
We probably need to award Figgy Fig a pet cat point.
So he's tied with me now?
I believe so. Because Jake Andrews has consistently been like the one. I mean, obviously, it still feels like they'll work in Patterson. But if we're talking about leaning towards a place, it does feel like Jake Andrews. So, Figgy, congratulations on your sixth pet
Ursary
cat point.
Ursary and Andrews been keeping me alive,
yeah,
man.
Christian Kirk has just been ho-hum doing his job, interestingly enough. So, I don't know. That's been an interesting one to watch. But what will be very interesting to watch is, you know, preseason game two. There's a lot that's supposed to happen in this game before the third one really just kind of gears you up for figuring out what the back end of your 53-man roster is and getting yourself ready for the regular season. But this game, is it fair to say that this one often operates as a little bit of a dress rehearsal for your starters, but then operates also as the opportunity to show what D'Amico has talked about often, which is not did you play a good game in the preseason, but were you able to carry it on and do it again and improve upon it over the next one?
Yeah, the one thing about the shortened preseason and the emphasis on joint practices that is missing, and trust me, I don't miss this. I don't miss the old preseason of four and sometimes five games back in the day. But the one thing that happened when you had a lot of preseason games and teams put emphasis on the preseason games and starters played three quarters in preseason games, the one thing that you did have a lot of back then is you could see the sleepers, you know, the guys on the bubble, however you want to put it, step up and, as D'Amico likes to say, do something under the lights. We can name a number of players that really earned a job in the preseason games. So I feel as if tomorrow might be the best time of all because the preseason game three is going to be almost exclusively backups. It's going to be 2 days after a joint practice with the Lions, so don't expect any starters, you know, at all. I feel like tomorrow is like the last chance for someone to – make that proverbial statement, you know?
You feel like it's, to use golf terms, moving day?
Yes, that's a great way to put it. It's moving day for some players. And again, use your favorite word, you know, sleepers or on the bubble or whatever. So I'm looking at some players, and I'm wondering if you guys are looking at some players where tomorrow's a career-impacting day.
To some degree, yeah. And I think also there's still some places that you're still looking to firm up. Obviously, at any given point, you're trying to make the best roster that you can, and you've got to – this is the time where you kind of get proof of concept in a various different places. So with that being the case, who are the guys that you're looking at to maybe be those sleepers that show up, those guys that move into a place of more prominence,
you know,
for
when
this
you,
Texans team?
When you start talking about things like this, usually something immediately pops into your mind. The one that popped into mind for me is not a sexy – buzz type player or whatever.
I don't think there are those with this roster. I think this roster at the top end is largely, you know, set in place. Obviously, maybe running back room and offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, as outsiders. But it felt like this was always going to be a churn for the last few spots and how the depth lines up for this team.
The first name that popped into mind was Russ Yeast. Don't ask me why. Well, I know why. Because he's shown some things in early on, actually throughout camp and the one preseason game.
Maybe more so because he's been a little bit of a nuisance.
He's been a nuisance, that's true, which swarmy is another way to put that.
Is that that what Swarm is? Are we just changing the meaning? Is Swarm just being a little bit of a jerk out there on the field? I think what we're looking at.
I think it's a characteristic. I think it's a characteristic of being swarmy.
Because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, Will Anderson Jr. might be one of the epitomes of Swarm.
He's feisty.
He's not like quite a jerk. No, he's not a jerk.
He don't come across as a jerk.
No, he is. The last thing he is a jerk, but he can be pretty dang feisty.
He can be feisty for sure.
He can be feisty out there.
All right. I'll think about it.
And there's opportunity. There is a real opportunity. Remember when we were out at camp the first 10, 12 days, whatever it was, and he was making some plays. I think I qualified it like, well, I don't think he's going to make the squad, but Russ Yeast did this, you know, or Russ Yeast did that. Well, now he might make the squad, man. There's opportunity there. I don't know.
To some degree, I think there is opportunity. The tough part about it with that safety spot, and obviously Jalen Mills jumps in here as mm-hmm. well, a guy who obviously has a lot of experience, Eagles, Patriots, but we've also seen the decline in mm-hmm. his career generally. What does he still have, I think, is an interesting thing to maybe get a feel of on the field, as I'm sure he'll be in third quarter, fourth quarter, getting some reps.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at that safety spot, I'm not as much thinking about that level of depth. I'm thinking about, first and foremost, mm-hmm. I mean, MJ Stewart is going to handle a lot of that work. Early on, assuming that C.J. Gardner-Johnson misses time. I'm there. Like, Rush East, I mean, sure, if he can give you a little bit more of something, that's cool. Obviously, I'm still waiting for Jalen Reed to come back. Like, I think there's a lot more depth options than, you know,
but there's
over
a chance
the course
there,
of the
man.
Season.
You don't know.
I think you're right, but I think in the immediate, if there's somebody who pops out at safety, particularly like maybe that kind of strong safety spot, for me, I'm thinking about MJ Stewart, the man who is going to possibly have to get some starting time, the man who might be looked at by opposing teams as the mark, trademark, you know, like, hey, that's the place that we go at. That's what draws my attention more, because I think if I start talking about like the depth chart, should everybody be healthy if we could go into Madden to turn injuries off? I think that MJ Stewart is a depth guy. I think that Jalen Reed is possible a depth guy, and Rush East might not even factor as much into this. You know what I mean? But I don't think you're wrong in that. He maybe has an opportunity to try and assert himself. I think my attention is just so much more focused on MJ Stewart and what he can do, provided that he has to be called into the line of duty.
Yeah, another couple of names that popped into mind, sleepers, if you will. Keep in mind, this guy was, we haven't talked about him much at all. He played in 16 games last year. He started 2 games, a lot of it out of necessity, but there is necessity again today. Jake Hansen, whatever happened to Jake Hansen? I mean, he was in the special teams. He was you know, integral in that. He, like I said, he played in just about every game. We haven't heard or done a whole lot with Jake Hansen. Does he even have a shot again?
That's a really good question, because that linebacker core got a lot more, at least there was a lot more attention paid to it, both with the presumed return of Christian Harris, which we're still kind of dancing around, as obviously he did not get out there in practice with the joint practice yesterday. He was in the walkthrough the day before, though, wasn't he, or was he not?
He was on the field once, yes.
He's seemingly coming back. He's off of the physically unable to perform list, but we haven't seen him play football, right? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. And I think he's at a point where you could probably fairly look at him and go, I need to see it before I have like a large amount of belief. However, with that being said, you got your, let's just say, starters, because they were the guys that you leaned on predominantly last year, and Aziz and Henry Toto. Christian Harris is probably returning this year and going to be a factor in that. Obviously, EJ Speed has looked the part early on to have some depth. And then don't forget, Nick Neiman comes in.
Nick Neiman's got
to challenge
a lot.
Directly Jake Hansen for the position that he had, whereas like depth linebacker, but really primarily special teams guy. And Nick Neiman is a special teams, like, I don't want to say ace, but he's like, that's his.
But Jake Hansen was last year.
And so I think that that's particularly where he has had a little bit of a rough go of it, is I think they brought in Nick Neiman to specifically be a special teams guy. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the role that he existed in. So maybe even more so for Jake Hansen is less like being the depth linebacker, because it feels like you have 4 guys that should be able to kind of rotate in that space. It's, can you wrestle from Nick Neiman the opportunity to be that kind of linebacker, special teams guy? So, you know, watching kickoffs and punts and those types of things will be very interesting for Nick, not for Nick Neiman, but for Jake Hansen.
Yes, I agree. Another one for you. Pretty important, even though it's maybe not a headline grabber, Luke Lachey at tight end. Occasionally we're like, oh, okay, Luke Lachey did blah, 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 but nothing that has really popped. And there, you know, obviously we know Brevin Jordan is out. We know they like to use tight ends. Wouldn't be It'd be nice to see Luke Lachey do something.
Yeah, and what's funny is you mentioned occasionally he's popped. A lot of that for me personally, I don't want to speak for anybody else, was early on in camp before we get pads on, before we, you know, and more in like individual type drills. Not saying that he hasn't done anything in teams, but I'm just like, those are the places where I think he's going to need to show more of the ability to actually impact the game when you're playing football for real. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I could easily see Irv Smith getting that you know, shout as a guy who is a veteran, who you know what you have in him. And it really is just a proof of concept on the same way that I kind of asked before we got into training camp about Jalen Smith and Jalen Reed. Are they more prospects or are they players as of right now? Yeah. I think that's what we're still looking to find out with Luke Lachey. Is he a prospect for, okay, you know, this year he might end up being on the practice squad. We try and look to develop him. And then next year we, you know, see what we have in him in a more advanced way. Or is he possibly going to be able to take hold of that third tight end spot that it seems like has been vacated by Brevin Jordan?
I agree.
Lost to IR.
All right, here's the big one. And this will be easy to gauge. It'll be easy to see because numbers don't lie, and he'll be right in the focal point of everything, presuming he's playing. And I don't know if he will, to be honest. He didn't participate yesterday. Dameon Pierce.
Yeah. What's interesting is it feels like he is positioned.
Is he going to play?
I hope so, especially without him getting real the joint practice.
Yeah, I just don't know how he could survive this without playing
right
in preseason. He did last year. I don't think he played that much last year.
You got Woody Marks, though.
Yeah, that's
Woody
what I'm
Marks
saying.
Woody Marks didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, last year, I mean, he was kind of a lock on the roster, but now you got a couple guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't see how he can survive this roster by not playing.
He has to play.
Not only does he have to play, but we have to see an ability to add something to what's happening here, because the tough part about it is what you at least seemingly got from Dameon Pierce last year, you're kind of getting a Nick Chubb, are you not? Like the things that you got from Dameon Pierce, you could get from Nick Chubb this year, right? Obviously a guy who, you know, who will be able to do what he need to do, obviously has the physicality.
Power,
but
straightforward.
Then was capable of here and there being able to explode and, you know, and find an explosive here and there. That felt like Dameon Pierce last year.
Well,
and so I think you need to give me a little bit more of a well-balanced situation, which of course is a possibility with more, you know, gap type concepts in the blocking scheme that we know seems to suit him better. But it's gonna need to show. We're gonna need to see it that you're taking advantage of these in a way that is different than maybe what you can get with any of these other running backs. He's going to need to stand out, it feels like.
Y'all finish this sentence for me. 713-572-4610 if you want to join in. If Dameon Pierce does not play tomorrow, finish the sentence.
Ooh, if Dameon Pierce does not play tomorrow, he significantly lessens his chance of making this roster. I think that's the easy way. I was trying to see if I could put a percent chance. What percent chance does he then have in my mind of making the roster if he does not play today? Because all that would be left is one more joint practice and one more preseason game. And I think that he would probably bring himself to a place where it's like a 50-50, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he don't play tomorrow, what's the sentence you said?
If Dameon Pierce doesn't play tomorrow, finish it.
Then he might not make the squad.
I think I'm with you. Woody Marks isn't going anywhere.
No, it doesn't feel like he's going anywhere. Yeah.
Chubb's back. Dari Ogunbowale is not going anywhere.
On the off chance, it would have to only be that. Well, even then, Joe Mixon is going to be on your 53, even if maybe you have to, like, and I'm not saying that they will. I'm not saying I have any insight.
Missed
all
the first four games.
Right? Like, because we don't know. We haven't gotten any update on Joe Mixon. But even if he has to miss time, I don't think that's going to be a savior for Dameon Pierce in that circumstance. He's going to need a ball.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to. He absolutely needs
409. If he doesn't play, he'll get traded.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Somebody said if he doesn't play, he will be a Cleveland Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I think all of those fall in that same line. It's really, we need to see time. It's really points also to the idea that he, really unfortunate that he's had the injuries that he's had. We'll talk more.
Somebody said if he doesn't play tomorrow, he'll play next week.
Technically correct.
Might be true.
Might be.
If he doesn't play, he's a Carolina Panthers.
Brother go play all four quarters next week.
That doesn't mean a lot.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's a Football Friday headed into a big time preseason game against the Carolina Panthers. First one at NRG for the season. Excited for all of that. But coming up next, let's talk about the Astros getting a 3-game set started against the Orioles. Lopez is saying it's a lock tonight. Do you agree with them? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about the game next. All right, Astros, game and a half lead now in the division. Shout out to the Baltimore Orioles for doing the Mariner or doing the rather the Astros a solid. And what was that, like a 5-hour game yesterday?
Five and a half thereabouts.
Disgusting. Yeah. Obviously not just a straight up 5.5-hour baseball game. Nice rain delay that happened in the midst of it. In fact, we were talking about that before we went off the air yesterday because we were watching Mariners Orioles yesterday. And it was a nice 5-0 lead for the Orioles. They'd gone through 4.5, and the rains came down. It was pouring. Mm-hmm. And we were like, there's no way they just keep this game going. It's a getaway game and all that. Nope. I guess the Mariners decided, we want to see if we
might
can win
need
this.
This.
They didn't. It was still a 5-3 victory at the end for the Orioles. So, you know, the Astros stretched their lead just a little bit. And now you're saying that there's an absolute lock and an opportunity for them to continue to stretch their lead as they face off against the Orioles in this weekend's 3-game
season. Yeah, it's a lock. Lock it up. Astros going to win today. You want to see the Astros win, go to Daikin Park today. Bring a fan, like a literal fan. Bring a fan because it's hot in there all the time. And it's a done deal. Lock it up. Put it in the win column. Fromber tonight against the 0-6 with a 6.7 ERA, Brandon Young. And here's the other reason, the biggest reason. If I were a gambling man, which occasionally I am, and today might be one of those occasions, chalk up an Astros win. All right? That's the first part. That's the good news.
Just based off of all of those things.
And, by the way, I looked at the box score to see the time of game. They only put the actual time of the game, 2 hours and 42 minutes. They didn't put the 2.5-hour, whatever it was, rain delay in there. So, but on top of everything else in the Astros' favor tonight, the Orioles played five and a half, six, whatever it was.
They didn't play, but I mean,
it took that long,
that amount of day,
and then they had to fly to Houston.
Exactly,
and then they had to fly. It's a dub tonight. That's the good news. Okay.
Okay. You're setting this up like you're going to have some bad news on this.
Well, it's a question, not necessarily a bad news thing. It's a question because after today, you've got Jason Alexander. He's been pitching well.
Yes, he has, last couple outings for certain.
And Christian Javier, who I was very high on in his first outing, what I saw.
And there's still room for improvement. Fair.
Yes. But after that, you start talking about the bullpen. You got 10 games in 10 days starting today. Fromber's going to win tonight, or the Astros will anyway. And then you've got a couple of guys that still maybe need to show a little bit of something, but you feel good about it. You've got to start thinking about this bullpen, man. It's been taxed. It's been hurt. It's been, shorthanded.
Yeah, some of it's just been ineffective, let's be honest.
And you got to get one of these guys back. J.P. France pitched yesterday. I think 3 earned runs, if I'm remembering it correctly. And then Luis Garcia pitched, or is pitching tonight. You've got to get one of these guys back because now is the time. You said game and a half lead on the Mariners, all right? This is the easy part of the easiest part of the schedule outside of playing the Tigers. So you got the Orioles for 3, then you have the Tigers, then you have the Orioles again, then you have the Rockies and the Angels. You've got to get there's no margin for error. You don't want to mess around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't play with your food here.
Right, exactly.
There's a number of winnable series and, honestly, opportunities to possibly sweep, all things considered. Fair enough, Doc Hooligans. Why is OG jinxing the game? Yeah, it's possible. I don't think he has that kind of power. However, I think 713-572-4610, what should be done to John Lopez should we find out that he jinxed the game? I just want to put that out there.
That did come across my mind a little when you first said it. I'm like, oh man,
it's a rap figure.
Do we make him do a whole show in the Judge John Lopez wig? Is that like just getting ahead of what is the penance?
You gonna do when they win, listeners? You got to do something too. It's not just a one way street here. It's a lock. It's a done deal.
Nobody asked you to put no locks on here. That's your fault. You have to deal with.
What's Reggie gonna do when the Astros win tonight?
Why do I got it? I didn't.
You brought it up.
I ain't promised nothing.
You brought it up.
I didn't promise nothing. But J.P. France went 4 innings yesterday with 3 earned runs, 7 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. And the velocity is pretty solid. Like,
got to get him back.
I mean,
because of what it does to the bullpen too.
But the question that I then have, because you're right, I'm in the same place. Hey, the idea of, you know, Luis Garcia, J.P. France coming back, it feels like they can absolutely add to your pen. Is that enough? because I, looking at the bullpen, there's not a lot of guys that you that I feel great about leaning on in circumstances that you need it, right? Mm-hmm. When you really need something. And of course, I understand you're not every leverage situation is the same. However, you still want to have that level of belief that when you throw somebody out there, you get there. And losing Hader on the back end, mm-hmm. I think you got two in a possible of guys that you go, oh, all right, I feel comfortable. Or even if you want to go to three guys, mm-hmm. that's not enough to go through, as you mentioned, a 10 games in 10 day stretch mm-hmm. because guys, you can't pitch everybody every day, right? And I don't know that it's a reasonable expectation to expect your guys to go seven innings so that you only have to use, what, two pitchers out of the pen. Like, I think that there's going to be quite a tax. And I don't know, is a J.P. France returning enough? Or is a Luis Garcia, even if they possibly joined in together, enough?
Then the other part of it, is, yes, to answer your question, I think it could be enough. And the reason is it gives you at least another inning or two before you have to get to the leverage situations. And here's why. I mentioned, you know, obviously Jason Alexander. You really want five out of him if you're being realistic. Well, if you can bring someone like J.P. France or Luis Garcia, or vice versa, if Luis Garcia, you want to start him, you know, because he's always been a starter, you can maybe – it gives you another couple of innings with that extra arm.
Are you setting up piggybacks here? Is that what we're
saying? A lot of piggybacking, yes. I think piggybacking can work. Now, you're going to have to do some roster manipulation, but they've done that before.
They've had to do that a number of times this year already.
Yeah, because – so what it does is, like, let's say J.P. France, even Arrighetti. You know, obviously Christian Javier, if you can, the realistic thing is you get five. Well, if you have another couple of these guys, you know, in the pen, in the rotation, so to speak, you get another inning or two right there.
Well, that takes you to
Sousa and Abreu.
If you start talking about piggybacking efforts, mm-hmm. you might be able to even lessen up and go, if you give me four, I'm happy.
Right. Right, and then maybe get three out of those guys, and because they want to start stretching themselves anyway, or reverse it. If you think, hey, Luis Garcia's a starter, we're going to start him, then you can come in maybe with Jason Alexander or whomever. You know what I mean?
But that starts with getting those guys back.
Exactly. That's why I said it's imperative to get these guys back. It's not the bad news. It's the question. Can you get them back? And technically, to be fair, we have to mention Lance McCullers Jr. as a possibility too. Right, Figgy?
I guess so.
I guess.
But Gordon, Stephen A. Smith, fair is the only place that judge pigs.
the mother of all blisters is still keeping him who knows where.
From the 832, how about we get some hits and score some runs during this time and give our pitching staff a little support? Strong agree, but I will admit it does feel like the offense has been a little bit better about that. Now, mm-hmm. of course, you know, some of these instances where they're putting up some runs – really felt like it started against Miami, and then they got New York. Both mm-hmm. those on the road, mm-hmm. mind you, so you would imagine Dykin Park plays a little bit more favorably. And, I mean, you got seven runs, and then obviously you only had the one run in that stinker of a 14-1 game, but then you put up another four. I think that they have an opportunity. The offense does feel like they're turning things over enough. They're getting enough timely hitting to give a little bit of a cushion to mm-hmm. these guys, but you're still going to need them to come out and deliver. So I do feel good about this mm-hmm. three-game set. I think that you know this about me. I keep looking at the Orioles and not seeing a very good team, personally, but I guess I can't say
when
they got a series win against the Mariners.
They did, but all those things that I talked about yesterday, and, you know, I always get a laugh when people, you throw out the question about what should he do if they lose, and they go to the extreme.
Smelling salts.
Like, shave his head. Shave his head. But this is one that's to the extreme that actually made me laugh out loud. Stone him.
Well,
like go full old school. Stone him.
You were just talking about earlier getting stoned. I don't know what's the point.
Not that kind of stoned.
Oh.
Like they used to do to witches.
Did they stone witches? I thought they burned witches.
They burned witches. I thought who'd they stone?
I feel like
this seems like
people who'd had sexual immoralities got stoned. If memory serves. I don't know.
Like
I'm just
this sounds
assuming.
Like a question for ChatGPT.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Stop. Stop it. Cut it out. Are we going to make you do what Nick Wright did to that cup of coffee that one time?
Oh,
all right,
man.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That might be a great answer for the question of the day that's coming up. What have you been peer pressured into doing? Sports is a bonus, but otherwise, we'll take that too. 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next. All right, question of the day time, 713-572-4610. What is something that you've been peer pressured into, because apparently Lopez, with his incessant complaining, has finally gotten a win today by peer pressuring Sean Pendergast into moving out of his spot.
Yeah. I wish I could take credit for it. It was Seth that peer pressured him. So behind the curtain here in the studio, there's two seats in front of us, two seats in which we, you know, we sit. And a lot of times out of the, you know, just being, you know, a nice enough fella, every day, in fact, I move to the other side of the table so the guys in the afternoon can sit here and get rolling with their show right away.
Yeah, and be able to see the producer and have a very comfortable seating position.
And the reason we do this, too, because we don't have a break at the top of the hour.
Right.
We roll right in. We used to have a break at the top of the hour to give us a little, a good 5 minutes, six minutes to get in our spots and all that stuff.
So, and Sean Pendergast never does that, except for today, because Seth, hell of a nice fella, was considerate enough for Reggie that he moved to the other side of the table, and Sean was like, "Well, now I guess I gotta." So he was so he was peer pressure.
Should have stood his ground.
That would have been pretty funny.
Would have been great.
So peer pressure.
Yeah,
yeah, and it can be a hell of a thing. But judging from some of the texts come in, it can be quite stupid sometimes.
It absolutely can. That's the fun in doing this. You know what's funny? Because the first couple that I thought of, actually the first three that I thought of, are all actually good.
Well, that outcome. Can, okay. All right.
Like, obviously, there's the ones like when I was young, I was peer pressured into like just jumping off a balcony for fun. Right? I was peer pressured into like taking my car and putting my arm out the window and holding a shopping cart as my friend sat in it and we rode around the parking lot. Yeah, these are the peer pressure things that pop up. However, the thing that came to mind first and foremost is when I started here at Sports Radio 610. Mm-hmm. I was kind of actually peer pressured, or not really peer pressured, but pressured into doing Tailgate of the Game for the Texans. Like, I mean, for Texans home games. Like, I was not familiar with the concept. And was like, hey, but kind of voluntelling you that you should do this. And I'm like, all right, I guess. And it has been, like, my favorite part about going to Texans games. Like, being able to get out there and tailgate. Because I ain't never had the opportunity to do that before.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, this is incredible. So, like, in a way, that was a level of peer pressure getting me into that space.
That's a good one. By the way, an early leader in the clubhouse, and this is a good one, even though it's quite life-changing, 512 said marriage. You know, when you're in your late 20s into your early 30s and everybody's getting married and you're dating some girl or dating some guy.
Here.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, well, when are y'all going to call, you know, when are you going to, you know, make an honest woman out of her? Or when are you going to get married? That's a very real thing.
Yeah, I was very peer pressured during my time.
Really?
Yeah, 100% because, so I didn't propose to my wife until 2016, and we were together since 2009.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't like, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure if I want to marry. It wasn't anything like that, but she was in school. I was working, trying to get a better job and all. We were staying at home with our parents and all that stuff. It didn't make sense to try to get married during that time.
Yeah.
So, but all of her friends were just popping up, getting engaged and all that stuff. She'd be like, oh, look, Susie got engaged. And then she had a couple family men. I think I want to say her godmother was like, oh, what are you going to point at the ring finger? And I'm just like, dang, we good. So I stayed strong.
You were good.
Yeah, she wasn't good.
No, eventually my wife understood, and I think she have no regrets on how everything.
But you did say my wife. You did say my wife.
Yeah, yeah. It was going to happen. It just, you know, had to wait for the right time.
Somebody from the 832 as, man, we just say F it. She already moved in. That's hilarious. Can I give you one more sports one that actually happened last? I can't remember exactly when it happened. Now I think about it, but maybe a few months ago when T-Mill was trying to get some boys together to go to the Astros game.
Oh, I have one that just came in on my bat phone.
I got peer pressured into sending in the lower bowl. Because, look, I treat my budgeting the same way that Lopez apparently treated his dealings with a particular recreational substance, let's say.
Yeah.
Which is, if I break the seal, this might be a thing. And so I'm like, if I get used to sitting down where them seats cost a little bit more.
Yeah.
That might be one of those can't go back moments, and now every time I want to go to a game, I got to shell out money, and I should be more responsible.
Yeah,
But Team L was like, "Yo, so we sitting here," and I'm like, "I can't just be like, no, we not. Let's move up. I can't do that."
Yeah.
He invited us out. Let's go. So I was like, "All right, I guess I just have to pay whatever this
seat
costs."
You got another one, Figgy?
Yeah, I got a couple of them. So one kind of pertained to around the office. I felt like I was peer pressured to do the March Madness bracket. from our big boss.
Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah, because usually she's sending mass emails out, and I'm like, they ain't going to miss if I don't join it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get two more of them. Oh, you get three more of them.
Last call.
Yep. And then,
Biggie.
And then, and then some people around, hey, did you join the tournament?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, all right. I guess I did. That one fantasy football, my one and only year, I felt like I was pressured mm-hmm. into doing that. And then the other one, whenever people around the office give you a gift
mm-hmm.
out of nowhere, I feel pressure where I'm like, I got to get you something now.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing, but I feel guilty if I don't get you anything. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, all right, the pressure on me when your birthday come around.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to outdo you.
Yeah. I like this one. When you catch a foul ball and you're pressured into giving it to a kid. Everybody's sitting around. There's some kid with a sad face. And you're like, I guess I'll give it to you.
That's right. That's right. You should have caught the ball as a child. Sorry. Hand that to that child now.
Yeah.
Do it. I appreciate this from the 346. They said they were pressured into ordering steak medium well. I feel like there's not been enough pressure yet because we haven't worked you down to a medium.
Yeah.
Damn. Medium rare. Who
wants it well?
You know what I'm saying? But who wants it medium well? You got to go medium rare.
That's what I'm saying. There's the pressure.
No, I feel
we got to get you to a medium. I feel like a medium is a place where you can get to.
So I wonder what was his steak order though.
Like, it's clearly well, right?
Well, okay, well done.
Oh, ain't nobody pressuring you back up to a medium.
That's
well.
What
like,
I
you're
was
not
wondering.
Like, hey, I got a medium. Except now you got to get
I'm
a medium.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
That's what I was
wondering.
Brother. Yeah, that's weird. You got to check your friends on that.
Yeah, it's a couple times I've been pressured by the Girl Scouts. That be
they are the chief pressure.
Yes.
What you mean?
Yeah.
Or anybody at the entrance of a grocery store.
I try to,
Santa's just
door?
Pressing you for $10.
Yeah.
I try to walk with my face covered a little bit, try to hurry up.
Yeah, you go to the other
keep
door.
Keep that tunnel vision.
Yeah,
excuse me, sir.
I'll get you on the way out, and then you go out the other door.
Yep.
Excuse me, sir.
Have you ever been shamed, not just in whether or not you'll give, but in how much you gave?
I'm trying, well, only at like, in a different way, yes. Like at these, you know, these fundraisers and such, you know, everybody's like, you know, you're bidding or even a silent auction and you're writing it down and you're like, I don't want to do anymore. But then everybody's looking at you like, well, I guess I got to
one more.
Yeah, I got to do one more. Yeah, for sure. And also in the office because of our jobs. And I know probably all of us have been peer pressured like this. Whenever it's your significant other, in my case, or some other, you know, group, they make, you know, I was talking about this earlier. Oh, John will MC.
just volunteer.
John will MC. Just write him down. We don't even have to ask. He'll MC. Hell, man, I just want to go eat and drink.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like ours, that's obviously annoying.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think, like, what other jobs does that get deeply annoying with? Because, I mean, there's definitely
he'll
going
do
to be.
It.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Oh, he does it all the time. He'll do that for you. I imagine, like, being a handyman's got to be the worst.
Oh, a lawyer.
Oh, just like, yeah, let me get some free legal services right quick. Come on, help me out.
Yeah.
It's not going to take long. I just got a question.
I don't want that billable hour stuff. I don't want any of that stuff.
All right, so the same person who said they got pressured into ordering their steak medium well also said golfing against pro-am golfers and like, I guess, in a pro-am or what mm-hmm. have you. I'm interested in what they mean by that. Like, when you just the idea of golfing in a pro-am versus possibly professional golfers,
I'm guessing,
it like the way that you play when you golf against?
No,
them?
I think it will maybe, but I think it was like, hey, we got to force them in this pro am. You're playing, right? No, I don't want to play against freaking Scotty Scheffler in a pro am. I don't care if it's a pro am or not because you're not a good golfer. I've done that. That's why I say that. Where they're like, hey, you know, at the which one is it? The Insperity, the tournament that's here in the Woodlands area. I've done that twice, and it's fun. You get to play with a legend, you know, but you're not a good golfer.
Yeah, this is the thing. I'm an atrocious golfer. Like, that pro don't want to wait for me to find my ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
right.
I will do that a number of times during a round. Right? Like, so.
I just owned it, as I like to do in situations. I was playing with Tom Lehman, you know, former great golfer at the Insperity 1 year. And I said, all right, Tom, you know, tell me about my swing. What's good about it? And I hit the ball, and I actually hit it okay that shot. And he's like, there's not a lot.
That's
like,
fair.
Oh, crap. There's not a lot good about your swing.
Pressured into making food for my wife's school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because I thought you were going to say pressured into making food for my wife. And I was like, that's adorable for the school. Mm-hmm. How many people are you making food for? Like, you're just catering at that point. Tipping on takeout.
Yes.
We need to fix this. We need to figure out something here.
I had one yesterday. The options were 21%, 25%, or 30%.
So you gave 30, clearly, right?
I was like,
for takeout?
For takeout.
He's like, I came to get it.
21, 25, and 30?
I picked it up.
And then you feel like such a jerk when you hit custom tip and do 10% or 15% or something.
I'm sorry. I don't. Like, hey, the cost of the food was the cost of the food. Wasn't yeah. I thought we had already calculated yeah.
the thing. But see, I think the thing is, too, because I kind of went through that at Starbucks mm-hmm. when I used to work at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And you, as the customer, you feel like you're being disrespectful if you don't tip or
right.
you don't or you leave a little tip. But these workers, man, sometimes they don't give a damn, man. Mm-hmm. They're like, man, like you ain't got to, like, don't feel pressure to leave $1.25 or something.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like customers kind of think a little too much, and the workers kind of just be like, "Do whatever you want to do, bro."
Do you think so?
That's how I was at Starbucks.
They know what time it is.
I never judge anybody if they didn't leave a tip. Maybe that's different at a coffee shop. But
yeah.
I never looked at somebody as like, "Oh, he said no to the tip,"
mm-hmm.
or I didn't really like mess up his coffee or something like that.
Right.
Oh, see, this got to be a bad person. This got to be a bad one, rather. Someone who clearly works in some level of IT or whatever said up until their dad passed, he would just randomly hand them a phone and be somebody on the other line looking for IT or car help. It's like, help me out here. Like, I don't even know who I'm talking to. Yeah. Did you turn it off and turn it on again?
Exactly.
Beyond that, call your local IT person. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. All right. Let's get back to football, headed into a football weekend, week 2. Of preseason. And coming up next, not talking about preseason, week 1 of the regular season continues to look more and more interesting for your Texans because of this particular news and news note. We'll talk about that more next.